All right, Joe, we are back on the podcast where we are training men in spiritual fitness. And for the few guys that are watching on YouTube for us, it looks like you're in a different setting for us. Joe, you're not in your normal like library background, which is a little disappointing.
I know. I don't feel nearly as intelligent. Not that I've read all those books, but they look good on the backdrop. I'm in my son's room. I couldn't find any internet. So I'm hoping that's his study vibes. I don't know how much of that is in here, but might help me.
Yeah, a little internet difficulty this morning, but that's all right. We're going to hope this goes through. But we're at the end of our series now. I think this is like, what, week six of our series on the disciplines of a focused mind. And we've got a bit of a problem that I kind of want to clear up before we get into this episode. And that's really that we haven't done a great job, I don't think, of defining focus, because we've been talking about for 6 weeks focus and trying to get men to be men of focus. And we talked just kind of broadly about that. But I found that in personal conversations that I'm having with men, I tend to go one of two ways with this. I'm either talking to men about like, hey, you need focus in your time of scripture meditation, and because you're so distracted, you know, and this is me personally. I find times where I'm distracted from the task that I want to be completing, namely setting my mind on Christ. And so I need help with that. I need better focus on scripture. But then there's other times when I'm talking to guys about focus, just like big picture in their life. Like, hey, you need a better clarity and focus on who you are and where you are going. So help me out. Give me a clear definition of focus, or help other guys see what it is that we're trying to talk about.
Yeah, I think there is a kind of an ambiguity, but it's one that actually is nonetheless there's something connected, a single concept. And you might think of it in terms of altitude sometimes, you know, the difference between focus ground level versus focus when you get further up. Mm-hmm. And so guys, you know, if you're ground level and just, you know, just walking step by step, and there's all of these lights and noises distracting you moment by moment, mm-hmm. Focus in that sense is the opposite of distraction. It's being able to concentrate. It's being able to see where you're going. But that also depends upon a higher point of elevation, that you also need focus in the sense of not just moment by moment, but kind of week by week, and even month by month, and sometimes even year by year. Yeah. Like, do you have the same kind of concentration where a week goes by and you've not been so distracted by even big projects, not by like, you know, social media, but that you've lost sight of the one thing needful, you've lost sight of your chief end. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I think it's okay that we kind of go back and forth, because the truth is, to truly have a focused life, it's going to have to be in the moment, and it's also going to have to be, you know, in the greater kind of durations of time.
Good. Well, then I don't feel as bad for like muddling up the conversations on focus, because I guess both are required, both the moment to moment and the big picture, which kind of, all right, so that leads us into our topic for today in this last discipline of a focused mind, which we're just going to kind of broadly call life planning. And this is like, man, this is the one. This is the one everybody wants to jump to, right? This is the one I want to jump to when we start talking about focus. Everybody wants a clear life plan. What does that look like? How do I begin to develop one? And so we're going to guide guys through this conversation, through maybe some steps of developing a life plan. But I do want to first raise, I know what I know is an objection, I guess, when we first start talking about making a big picture life plan. And that's just, I mean, look at the words of Jesus, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. How is it that we're going to tell guys to plan for their life when there's so much uncertainty in the future and there's so much that's unknown? So why worry about that? Why spend any amount of time on that whatsoever?
Yeah, I think we always have to ask, well, what's the task of today? Mm-hmm. And like C.S. Lewis makes an interesting comment at one point. He says, you know, part of the task of today is to make sure you're prepared for tomorrow. And so part of how we avoid being anxious about tomorrow, you know, we all know what it's like to procrastinate, you know, to pretend like that thing's not there, to live in the moment, but to live in a moment in a really unhelpful way that ends up, one, leaving you not ready for something important, but equally just allows anxiety to just, you know, simmer. And so, you know, we're not talking about living in the future and ignoring the present. We're talking about doing today's work, looking ahead, making sure that today I'm where I need to be, mm-hmm. so that, you know, as these days one by one pass, you know, there's something that's really good, you know, that's occurring in my life. So I wouldn't let guys, you know, be put off by that worry.
Okay, so let's get guys to it. You've got 5 steps, it looks like here. 5 steps for life planning. Let's just go through them one by one. Give me your step one in helping guys begin to make a life plan.
Okay, and let me just put a caveat at the front end of all of this,
All
because
right.
if there's a problem with the label life plan, okay, we don't have life in our hands. I mean,
Yeah.
it is in God's hands. So whatever we're doing here has to recognize that there's that huge part of life which we might call suffering, all of the stuff that we wouldn't choose for ourselves that comes in, that's not in the life plan. So in one sense, whatever we talk about here, we got to hold lightly, because God very likely is going to bring things in that we aren't anticipating. But nonetheless, there are things we can anticipate. So I think we can use that term life plan without it signifying some kind of false control. So I think the first step we're going to do is we're going to work at the high altitude, and we're going to work our way down. And so the first thing I do think this is fundamentalist is to ask the biggest questions. Something like, this is not how we typically speak, but if you're in church long enough, you'll hear somebody use these words, the chief end. What is the chief end of man? Meaning, what is the highest thing for which I've been created? Like, that's a question we've got to ask. Because if we get that wrong, we're going to get everything else wrong. So it's really important to ask that kind of question. Or, if you're in John 17, verse 4, Jesus talking about, I have finished the work you've given me to do. Okay, so that big question, what is the work God has given me to do if I take my life as a whole? Now, those are big questions. So we're going to have to work our way down, but we do want to start from that position of being able to really name our highest intent, our big purpose, all the rest of it. And so that's the first step. Take the big questions and actually write them down and write some answers.
This is probably the step that I would easily skip, or that I think a lot of guys would easily, because it's just like you feel like, we all know that, or that's just understood. Like, why even go? But there is a sense in which we can't skip this step. This is important. This is, I guess, what some people would call a purpose statement, right? Like, this is like, okay, what's the purpose of this thing I'm about to do? What is the purpose of my life? And that, I guess, that's not worth skipping. You need to live with a sense of purpose. And I guess big picture, is this really just trying to help guys see my life and my life planning is not about me? Like, okay, I'm about to write a bunch of stuff down, make a big plan, but my life and my life plan, it's not about me. My purpose is for God and about God. So is that, I mean, you'd say don't skip this step. It is important, even though we're probably all going to have the same answers to this one, right? Like, is there multiple answers, or is it just like, no, there's one chief end of man? Like, there's not a lot of variety here, right?
I think there's two things to think about. One is, if you were to sit with your non-Christian friend, you take your answer for granted, but his answer would be fundamentally, a galaxy away from yours.
That's
So,
good. Yeah, that's
his
good.
chief end is to maximize his own potential and to achieve his own happiness and to get as high, in his company as he can or whatever. So don't take for granted just how radical your life has shifted
It's
when you
good.
became a Christian. But secondly, once you have that answer, we're going to go from abstract to concrete, because every other question, this is like the thread. And if you've got a string of pearls, like you're going to be adding, but the thread's got to go through every single one of them to complete, this process. So you're going to take it, but we're not going to think, okay, chief end of man is to glorify God or something, and then forget it. As soon as we move down a notch, we carry that with us, and now we're thinking about it within a specific realm.
That's good. Okay. All right. So we've helped guys see their or make a purpose statement, see their purpose in life, ask the big questions. So what's step two?
If step two, again, we're going to move down a little bit. So we're not quite as high of a point of elevation, but we're going to be thinking about really roles and responsibilities. So life isn't just a bunch of discrete actions, individual choices, that these things, that they collect themselves in areas of life, and that we have as men. If you're a father, man, that's a huge role and responsibility. So now you have to take that, and you're going to be thinking, okay, how do I serve God? Not just in general, but as a father. Same if you're, obviously if in the role of being a husband, same in terms of church member, same in terms of your employment. And so this is where We have to not just think, okay, if I've got a job, if I'm an accountant, what's my job description in the eyes of my employer? What's my
Right.
job description in the eyes of God if I'm going to honor him in my employment? And that's a different set of questions. And so, we're thinking now it's getting a little bit more concrete because we're thinking, okay, what does it look like to live with God as my highest purpose, but in this specific sphere? And so I'm beginning to have to question, and I'm beginning to have to get clarity about what it means, for example, to be a godly father. And I've maybe not thought about that in a little while. And so what we're trying to do is isolate, you're probably going to have 6 to 8 of these key areas of life, and then begin to describe for yourself what it looks like to seek God in that specific role.
Is this where some people would talk about making a personal mission statement? Is this where you would say that fits in, or does that fit into your idea of like a job description for each role?
Yeah, I think you can do something like that. Sometimes it's not so clear as that. Like if you're talking about something like your family life, that the mission of my family is, I mean, it's really hard to say one thing. But what I can do is begin to think, well, okay, as a father, one thing I need to do is I need to instruct my kids in the things of God. So there's got to be some way that I'm discipling them. As a father, I might also have to tend to their schooling needs or whatever, and so make sure that so. It may not all be a coherent, like, single point, but you're trying to think, okay, well, what are the key kind of roles and responsibilities within that area, and how do I achieve them in a way that honors God?
That's good. Okay. All right. So we've asked the big questions of life and what am I here for? What's the purpose of my life? My life is not about me. Then we've kind of connected those dots to the roles and responsibilities in our lives, made some unique job descriptions for each of those roles. Take us to step three.
Yeah, so I think again we're dropping a little bit more. That's still fairly high up, and I would maybe classify this next one as, thinking in terms of lifestyle. And so here I think it's sometimes useful to think of kind of a chunk of time, like more than a day, less than a month. And so you begin to think of your life like in a given week, and that includes like, okay, what you do at the start of your day, your kind of wake up routines, how you finish your days. It includes the different pacing between, Monday to Thursday, maybe Friday to Sunday, slightly different each day. But thinking about, the actual shape of what you're doing day in, day out. And, from the perspective of you've got time as a resource, you've got money as a resource, these type things. And so trying to figure out, well, what does it look like again to pursue that chief end, not just through these distinct realms, but now in the space of my life as lived out in, say, a given week. And that's a whole nother kind of level of thought. And just to begin to, again, ask those concrete questions. What's it look like? What doesn't it look like? What isn't working for me right now?
Yeah, I definitely like to say it's not real unless it can fit on a calendar and in a budget. Right? Like you haven't made this real, anything, whatever it is. Like, this isn't real unless it's on a calendar and in a budget. And now all of a sudden we've got some grip on what it is that we're actually trying to accomplish. This is like, look, I'll be honest with you, this is the step I want to jump to. Like, I want to skip all the other steps. I just want to go straight to, I love calendaring and figuring out budgets and doing like the nitty-gritty detail stuff of how do I fit this into habits and routines. And so I'm all about this step for sure, because it does help guys come to that realization. Okay, wait, if I do have a chief end to my life, and I do have certain roles and responsibilities, well, although the possibilities are endless around me, I like to tell my kids all the time, hey, we can do anything, but we can't do everything. And this is that step where you start to figure out, okay, we can't do everything. So let's try to narrow down the things that we must do in order to fulfill that purpose in the certain roles and responsibilities that are required. So yeah, this is starting to narrow us down and maybe even hem us in a little bit in perhaps a healthy way, right?
And I'll, to step back to help guys see why I don't want to skip that intermediate step of kind of, different kind of roles and responsibilities. I think one thing that'll happen at that level is you'll find that in one sphere of life, your mind immediately thinks of all kinds of things you could be doing. And so maybe you're given, I mean, you've got some new company, super excited. As soon as you go there, you know exactly what you want to be doing in that role. But then again, you might be the type of guy who now you think of your being a dad, and other than take your kid to sports practices, like nothing comes to mind. And you realize that like one area of life has absorbed all your thinking. And then another one, or maybe being a church member, like that means nothing other than to show up, occasionally on a Sunday morning. And so as you kind of look at these different roles, you have to also kind of compare them and say, how much of my bandwidth should each one be taking, and which ones am I really ignoring stewarding, because I like another one better than, something else. And so I think that's just a reason. But then dropping down the level, we're talking about lifestyle. I'd say something to guys, given the stage of life you're in, that if you're middle-aged and you're thinking about lifestyle, you've got to be asking, what can I cut out? Because what's going to happen just spontaneously of itself is your life will get crowded. And it's just responsibilities increasing all the time, opportunities all the time. Now, if you're a young man, if you're still in your 20s or early 30s, then you probably need to be thinking, well, how do I get more shape? How do I get more discipline in my life? Because you don't realize how much time you have to waste, and you need to be investing the resources God's given you at that stage. And so be thinking about a more disciplined lifestyle. So I think just, given your stage of life, there's different questions we can be asking.
I'm glad you said that because you're so right. We have to look at this through seasons of life. Yeah, none of this is going to be just across the board. That's beautiful, those two seasons that you outlined there. All right, let's take guys to step four because we've asked the big questions, identified our purpose, identified roles and responsibilities. Now we've gotten down to the lifestyle issues, those habits, routines, some of those daily things. What's next?
Well, this is my personal opinion, and Evan, you might have a different practice that you use, but if a guy's sitting there saying, "Okay, what am I going to do with this at the end of this process? Like, am I supposed to look at every level of elevation every week and kind of go through?" And that doesn't really fit in very well for me. But what I do like to do is get to this next stage, where having worked through, I figure out some critical actions. And this is where, okay, these are the things that I've neglected that I've really got to prioritize. Or these are the things that are so important that even though I've not neglected, I got to hold fast and preserve them. But this is the stuff as I now look out at the next 3 to 6 months, this is what will really help me stay on that path of honoring God. And so what I'm looking for is not to constantly look at the whole big picture, but if every once in a while I go through this exercise, I can walk away and have a list of some things that I think to really honor the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the things that I need to be doing or cutting out or whatever. Then I've got a very simple list that I can keep right in front of me. And that gives me guidance. And so long as every, 6 months, year, whatever, I go back and go through the exercise again, I get a new set of actions. And so there's this kind of alignment, this kind of pivoting that goes on periodically. Because I always find that when I go through something like this, it's like I'm sensing, okay, the Lord's impressing some new direction, or He's reminding me of what I was doing that I'm not doing, or I'm not seeing new needs that have emerged within my family. And so there's always some real concrete stuff that I'm looking to try to implement or change.
First of all, you're right. My step four is vastly different from yours. You like take all this and these plans and make a list of critical actions. My step four is to do nothing. Like this is where I get stuck, Joe. This is where I get stuck. I am an over planner, an underperformer in a lot of ways. So like I overplan like crazy. I love making plans, love making budgets and calendars and things like that. Lifestyle, like putting it on paper and saying this is how it should look. I'm all in. But when it comes to implementing that critical actions, Joe, what critical? I gotta take action. This is the step that I definitely skip or ignore, and I wish you wouldn't have brought it up because now I feel guilty. But the truth is, and I think other guys can identify with this. There's a lot of ways in which, when I go through an exercise like this, identify my purpose and my roles and my lifestyle. There's a lot of ways in which I still don't want to change, is ultimately what it comes down to. And asking me to take critical actions is asking me to implement change. And so that's, I think, where probably a lot of guys get stuck is in the actual doing, just getting out and doing something about this. It's one thing to make a life plan. Congratulations, it's on paper. But until we actually take small steps, the life plan means nothing. So yeah, I don't like you for this, but I appreciate it. So give me step five. Give me something better. This is our last
No,
step.
this is the good one. This is the good one.
Okay. All right.
Is Yeah, I think step five is once you have, that list, it's a wonderful thing for prayer. So the goal of this activity is not to kind of muster inner strength and, somehow twist ourselves into a new shape. It's we want to know what we really need to be praying about and what we need to be praying for grace to do. And I don't have that kind of clarity. Left by myself, I get so caught up in the flow of life that, I think the needs of, say, my kids are the same as they were 3 years ago. And it's only if I pause and really think about them that I can walk away and say, no, they're at a new stage. I need to be at a new stage as a dad as well. And so, once I have these critical actions, really, they form the basis of prayer. And so, there's something that I can pull out when I'm struggling to know what to pray about, and I can pray through them. And what tends to happen is as I pray through them, they get even a little bit more concrete. So rather than that, maybe that I've got that sense that I need to go and make more time to spend with, again, I'll talk about being a dad with one of my kids. Like as I'm praying about that, I actually get the idea, well, I'll go in today. I've got some time. I'll go get coffee with one of them and spend some time to, and so I think in that context of prayer, it moves this from just a kind of life management, self-initiated task to where ultimately you're going, you're trying to listen to God. And then once you have some direction, now you're trying to rely upon him for even more concrete guidance and for the strength you need. And that's what gives us hope that we actually can be changing through this process because it's not just about our own initiative, but it's about him leading us.
That's good. All right. Good ending. That was I can take step five, prayer. I feel like I can do that one, Joe. Maybe something I'd add to your step five, if I'm free to do such a thing, is I think prayer and feedback is probably another step I'd add to this. I have found at times in my life that I've made some life planning sheet. And it made sense in my head, and it was actually a great plan in my head and in my eyes. But then when I gave it to my wife or gave it to my friends, they were like, "What do you know? You missed the mark over here in this role and responsibility, or you missed, no, you actually have better to offer here in these areas." So I think that some of this is good with feedback. Like, yes, please make a life plan. But maybe share it with those two or three people that you trust that are close to you, that see you and see God in you and how he's working through you, because you're going to miss something or you're going to be off about something. And so I've found it super helpful to have I took this to another level this earlier this year. My wife and I did like a personal mission statement date night, which everybody wants to do, right? That's the perfect. That makes me sound like a terrible dork, but part of what we did is just kind of tell one another what we feel like our mission during this season of life is and where we're at. But then we had to do the opposite of I had her tell me what she thinks my mission during this season of life is. So she had to kind of write that for me, and I had to do it for her. And I found that helpful because there are things that she sees in me, and that she feels like I need to be following in obedience to God in, things that I'm going to overlook or maybe not even want to say out of fear or those kind of things. So yeah, I just add maybe feedback as another step to this. Anything else
Ouch, ouch, ouch. Accountability, transparency, Evan McGinty, man. That's scarily good, scarily accurate. So I hate you for saying that, but I do see the importance of it.
Well, as we kind of wrap up this season and just this episode on the disciplines of a focused mind, anything you want to leave guys with?
I think just this is part of stewardship, as we think about our life, whether it's again moment by moment or week by week or year by year, that we God's given us things to be focused on. And so this shouldn't just be a trait of kind of a particular temperament. It doesn't have to look the same in each one of us, but you should look at a Christian man's life and think he's got a focus, and that focus being driven by the glory of God.
I love it. And that's what we want from men. What's unique, if anything, about cross-training ministries is that not do we just train men, we want to train men in spiritual fitness. We want there to be Christian men out there who are thinking about life, not in the terms that any, other book or podcast, this worldly perspective may give you, but wait, let's filter everything through this is a life for and about God, and how can I begin to build a lifestyle around that? So part of this is just, yeah, learning to develop focus in the moment to moment and focus big picture for your life. What does it look like to have a lifestyle where Christ is first? And that's what we want to help guys do. Hope you guys have found this series of podcasts helpful. If you've got any feedback for us, please let us know. You can email us and give us some feedback. And we are going to get started with some new things here in the next couple of weeks. So we look forward to seeing you again.